That's good. All right, Father, we just pray that you would just really bless this time. That you would pour out your spirit, that you would speak to each one, Lord, whatever they need to hear. Or even if it's something completely what I'm not even thinking about, that you would just touch hearts this morning, Lord. You would give a glimpse of your glory, a glimpse of your heart for the nations, for where the gospel is finished, for here, for people's personal lives. We just pray that you would just draw eyes to Jesus, not to me, and that, Lord, you would just really speak, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, next slide. Pass the video. Our journey. So, I'm going to share our journey. So, Georgia has shared the skeleton. I'm going to put some meat on that skeleton. So, let me just take a sip. My mouth is so dry. All right. So, we were attending this church about 5 years ago or so. We've been married just over 5 years, so somewhat 5 years. But before I was married, when I was single, I went on a trip to Kurdistan, Iraq. And that played a real significant part on God just really bringing us to this place. If you can put the next slide on, please. And so I went there and I saw what God is doing in the Muslim world. And there's people, former Muslims and even Muslims, who were just so hungry for God and formerly believing that Allah is so high up, so far away. In reality, uninvolved in their lives. Now they're hearing of a loving father. We sang that song. He's a good father. Now they're hearing of God being a good father. And for them, it's mind-blowing. For us, it's like, been there, done that. We hear it, and we hear it again, and we hear it again. For them, it's mind-blowing. And, so I saw this man here. Just formerly, he couldn't even read well. And here he is, just so anointed by the Spirit of God. Just so on fire for Jesus. I've never seen. Mind has opened up, and he's sharing the gospel. He's leading people to Christ. God is doing some wonderful things in the country. And God showed me that this is something that He can use me. He can use me. I don't think I'm called to be a pastor in a setting like this, but He can use me in a smaller setting. Just sharing the gospel and discipling people and really pointing to other people to really take over. But before I even got there, I flew, and I landed in Istanbul. And I landed in one airport, and I had to fly out of another airport. And I had no idea that that's what's going to happen. If you've been to Istanbul, you maybe know. And so I landed there, and I was like, what? I had no plan to get to the other airport. So I just inquired, took the bus to nearly halfway, then took the train to the other airport. I had a 23-hour layover. And as I was going through Istanbul, I learned that this is a city of which now 16 million people, just Istanbul. And I'm going through Istanbul, and I'm seeing mosque after mosque. And something happened in me, and it was such a heaviness that I just felt that I just really cried out to God and just really asked God, God, I just hope, I don't know what to pray. I hope there's people here that knows you and people here that are making disciples of Jesus. You know, Turkey, a country of 85 million people, I believe, 0.04% evangelical Christian. And even a minority of that is ethnic Turks. It's a very unreached place. And I was just comparing and I was looking, and as I'm saying, I'm not putting this on anyone, just my own journey. And I was just thinking, like, man, as Joseph said, in New Zealand, there's church after church after church of a country of 4.6 million people. Istanbul, one city, 16 million people. Mosque after mosque after mosque. Who's going to these places? You know, something happened in me. And so I came back and I didn't have time to really unpack that. But got back, got married to Georgia. And that was pushed to the side, really, a bit. And then we left here and led a team of teenagers to Vanuatu. And we were really hoping that God would open up a door for us to serve in Vanuatu or even Australia with teen missions. And I was really praying, really with my heart invested, that God would do something here, open a door here. But no door opened. So we came back to New Zealand, and I was pretty discouraged, actually. And that's when we really had a deep heart search, and just coming really back to it. And then we just asked God, what is His plan for us? And we sense that God is calling us to the Muslim world, to go to a Muslim country. At that time, we thought maybe Kurdistan, Iraq, because that's what I knew. But that's when really our journey together really sort of started. We went on a short holiday to the States to visit friends that we've met through my time at the Bible College. And we went just before COVID. And so we were stuck there for a bit. And when we came back, we had to make a decision. Are we moving back to Tauranga, which we were living in? Or should we go to Auckland, where my family was? But also, there's more Muslim people in Auckland. And so we were wrestling with that. Georgia, she was quite fond of Tauranga, and so it was more resting on her there. And God gave it this verse. If you please go to the next slide. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he obeyed. There's obedience to faith. And so he came and brought this verse. And just as I say, this was one of our first steps on this journey. Just moving to Auckland, we felt this could be a good next step. So we moved to Auckland. And I just want to point out, it says, not knowing where he was going. And for us, we knew where we were going. We were moving to Auckland. But I think with faith, it's not that God shows you 2, 3 steps, 4 steps ahead and gives you the bigger picture before he wants you to step out. He just shows us 1 step. Just move to Auckland. There's more Muslims there. It just makes sense. And we just obeyed God 1 step at a time in this journey. And that's what it's really been about. We've just 1 step at a time, we've just took that step. And there's a verse that just comes to me now. In Proverbs, he says, the path of the righteous is like a dawning of the day. It just becomes brighter and brighter. I'm not saying it right, but you know what I mean. It's just, so for us, this path that he's led us on has just gone brighter and brighter as we just take 1 step, the next step, the next step, the next step. And we went to Auckland, and it was really the right decision. we met so many Muslim people from Pakistan, from Iran, people from Iraq, people from India. And it was such a good learning curve. If you can go to the next slide. This book here, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, has been a really good book for us. It's one of the first books that we read about reaching out to Muslims. And I'm sure some people here, know it, and have read it. But it just, this is like, this guy is a devout Muslim. And it just gives his journey. And it really takes you into the mind of a Muslim, into the world of a Muslim. And I really believe that many people have misconceptions of Muslims. There are a radical side to Islam, the Taliban, so forth, But the normal average Muslim are just people who are just normal people. And we've received so much hospitality, so much kindness, from Muslims. There's one example real quick. As I was doing this job, and so I knocked on the door, and this little boy came out, and his father was not there, and he said, "My father is not here, but he told me to tell you just to carry on with the job," and he gave me a drink, he bought me a sandwich, but later on in the day. It's such a kindness he showed me, and this is a Muslim family. My next job was just a different part of Auckland. I came there, and I needed to use the bathroom. So I went inside and I saw, "As for me in my house, we will serve the Lord." And I haven't even seen these people. Like, I didn't receive anything from them. It was just a cold connection there. And I was just thinking, this is not right. This is not the way it should be. I received that from Muslim family, and the contrast there. And they were probably just nominal, but still, this is part of our journey as we've been reflecting. So God just showed us so much, learned us so much, And there's so many people, as I'm saying, who have this idea of Muslims, and it's secondhand knowledge. They maybe have met one, or they're really into Bible prophecy, which I'm not against. But that's the eyes. They see all that through that, not actually having met and spent any time with actual normal Muslim people. So if you're stirred, I just want to encourage you, pick up this book. If you have read it, this is the sequel. This is more apologetics type thing. So if you go to the next slide, please. A big question for us that came up while we were in Auckland is the question of kids. So Georgia, she was keen to have kids. And I wanted kids, but I was actually pretty scared that having kids will take away from what God is calling us to do. That we'll find our kids just too precious, and we don't want to put them in any form of risk. And it's, and we're going to say that, no, we're not going to do that. But once we see that baby, and a few months later down the track, we're going to be like, no, we can't do this. And so God gave me this verse. "And now great multitudes went to him, and he turned and said to him, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother.'" So happy Mother's Day. wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." And there it is. And so, I'm not trying to be cheeky with the Mother's Day, but you know what? Like, mothers can be a big hindrance to mission. And that's why I say that. My mom is in South Africa at the moment, and she met this local guy, and his name is Doubt. And she asked him, why is your name called Doubt? And he said that it was a long process for my mom to, to become pregnant. And my mom said, maybe you should change your name. He said, yeah, he's been thinking about that for quite a while, but he doesn't want to offend his mom. And, my mom is probably the most emotional about this journey. And like, she tears up really quick. But we have to love Jesus more. His our love for Jesus by comparison should look like hate. Jesus is probably speaking just a hyperbole. But by comparison, our love for Jesus should look like we hate the other person. Not that we actually hate, obviously. Children. And that's what it really, just what hit me, that we can't stop fully obeying Jesus just because we have children. They come with us, Jesus has called us as a family, and we as a family go. We need to love Jesus more than we love our kids. Not that we're going to be reckless with our kids, but they can't take that first place. Only Jesus can take. So let me challenge you, this morning, who, is Jesus, is he first place in your life? Is there anything that sort of crept in that's superseded him a bit? I just want to challenge you with that question. So we thought about, our son's name, and we thought Abraham and Isaac, perfect example, that he was willing to sacrifice his son because he loved God more. So we call our first son Isaac. And also, it's a good conversation started with Muslims. So, Isaac. And it sounded a bit strange when we, at first, but now it's just so natural. But also, having kids has actually been a real help in reaching out to Muslims. Prior, I would go as a man, go into a Muslim's house. And guess what? Just the men would come out. It would be me with another man or other men. Now me and Georgia go, the whole family come out to the living room. Now we can have a conversation with the whole family. And with kids, they consider kids as a blessing. If you don't have kids, there's something wrong with you in their worldview, which obviously is not true. But that's how they see it. So it's a real blessing that we can reach out to whole families. And that's, our heart. It's our family reaching out to whole families. Because that's a trend in the Muslim world. Men come to faith in Christ. And their wife not. And they're so passionate for Jesus. And all the pressure from their wife and their family. And people fall away. And that's a real need for whole families to come to Christ. Next slide, please. Oh, my mouth is just so dry. I'm not used to speaking up like this. Matthew 24, verse 14 has been a verse that just kept on coming to us. This is part of our vision statement. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So, just firstly, all nations. We were learning about just all these unreached people. So, you get Pakistan, 200 million Muslims in Pakistan. There's 200 million Muslims in India. Afghanistan is like nearly completely unreached with 40 million. As I said about Turkey, Bangladesh, 160 million plus. So we were learning of all these nations, and this country that we are going to, where missionaries were kicked out. And now God has just opened up the door again. Very few, especially ethnic of that people group that knows Jesus. Very small number. And we were thinking like, man, Jesus is envisioning, like the gospel going out to all nations. and there's a lot of heavy lifting still to do. And so, at this point, we had a heart for the Muslim world, and now God is giving us a heart for an unreached Muslim country. So that became what we were going for. If you go to the next slide, you see our vision statement. But also, this verse is in a context of things not going well, pretty tough times. And we were in COVID. I'm not comparing COVID to this. This time that Matthew 24 is talking about will be a lot harder. But I'm just talking about COVID, like our situation. And we were hearing of missionaries coming back from wherever they were. And I'm not judging anyone because life is complicated, and many people came back for different reasons, visa issues and a whole bunch of different things. But still my heart broke, hearing of all these places that so desperately need Jesus, and missionaries are coming back. Who's going? Who's going if all these people are coming back? And so that, again, that was a real moment for us. We're thinking like, man, it's tough at the moment with COVID, but people should still be going. And that, that's back to that whole faith thing. You don't just step out if the path is clear. It's a beautiful day, sunny day. Now we step out. We step out despite. That's faith. And so just another mark on our journey, this verse. So we decided that we should probably get the ball rolling. We started speaking to our church at the time in Auckland, and we started speaking to mission agencies. We spoke to one mission agency. They said you should come to East West College. If you go to the next slide, please. You should go to this mission. So this is a missionary training college. And I thought, oh, no, no, I'm not interested in going here for 2 years. No, that's the last thing I want to do right now, especially after going to just the Calvary Chapel Bible Institute. For 3 years I was there. I don't want to come here for 2 years. And it didn't make any sense because we were meeting Muslim people already. It just made sense for us to just stay in Auckland, keep on learning, keep meeting Muslim people, and then eventually go. It just made more sense. Then we spoke to another agency, and they said, come here for 1 year. And I was like, oh, again. But then God's peace just really fell upon us. And we decided to, this is the Lord opening a door for us. And so we obeyed. And one family from a church, they paid for all our school fees for 1 year. And that's been our testimony. Is God has just provided everything we needed along the way. It's been so amazing. With our vision trip, to Central Asia, God provided a very big number for us to go. Tickets were very expensive. I think it was like 16,000 for our tickets in that particular time. And we didn't have anything. And we were sitting with Joseph and Lois in the office, and the phone rang of the flight agency giving us the number. And I heard the number, and I was like, oh. I'm trying to keep my composure in front of Joseph. And it was like, man. And we just stepped out anyway. And God provided like 20,000 in 2 weeks. And it was, I've never seen anything like that done for me. And God has just, He's really opened the way. And just every step of the way, He's just kept on encouraging us just to move forward. And that's what we've done. So, we went on a vision trip. I already said that. And we actually had a heart for this country that we played the video on, which I can't say now. And we inquired by Joseph Lois after hearing this country's name pop up a few times. It was like a stone in our shoe. So we inquired about this country, and after meeting them, it didn't sound like the door was so open. And then we felt, oh man, that sucks. But then we felt maybe we should go to like two or three countries in Central Asia and just go on a vision trip and just seek God to where He wants us to go. So I went to see someone from WEC, and he said to me, you know, think of this country, Kyrgyzstan. And I was like, oh, he's not listening to me. Two or three countries we want to go to, not to this one. But I just heard God just speak to me and just say, just do it. And so we did. You know, so we went there, and you know, going to this country, we met the WEC team of the other country in this country. And after meeting them, and just after a while, we felt, this is crazy. Here we are in a different country, meeting the WEC team of that country, one after the other, and they became their own official branch there. And we were just like, you know, listening to that video there. And for you guys, it might not mean much, but for me, listening to that video there, afterwards, I'm just sitting there so moved, and someone coming to me, and he asked me, why are you here? And I just, it was just really God, just really opening up the door for us. So we came back to New Zealand. Actually, let me just read one verse, if you go to the next slide. And I know this is talking about context, about, you know, about salvation, but I listened to it in the context of mission. And it's just interesting, before I even read it, it's just interesting that if you read it, actually let's read it. If you have your Bible, Matthew 20. And I'm reading from the NET translation, the New English Translation. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the workers for the standard wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When it was about 9 o'clock in the morning, he went out again and saw others standing around in the marketplace without work. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too, and I will give you whatever is right. So they went. So that was it. So, you know, God just really speaking to me, you go into this vineyard of this country as well. Verse 5, so they went. When he went out again, noon and 3 o'clock that afternoon, he did the same thing. And just notice how many times this landowner is going out. He went out in the morning once. He went out again at 9 o'clock. He went out again at noon. He went out again at 3 o'clock, and he went out again about 5 o'clock. He went out five times. Five times. This is really saying that there's a lot of work to do. And if you picture the landowner as God, he's recruiting people for mission. He's going out, he's seeking people to go out, touching people's heart, like their hearts. Calling people, drawing people to go out. And, you know, we, you know, as you can tell, you know, we are nothing special. We're just the ordinary family who just stepped out and just believed. And so it's all about His grace. And God, I believe, He's calling people, you know, if it's to get more involved in Shoreline, or if it's to, you know, be here, if it's to go here, or it's to go to the Muslim world, or it's to go to the, you know, like to the Hindu world, India, to go to China. There's a lot to do. And God is He's going. And then He's calling people. He's not sitting back going only once. Five times He was going out. And then verse 8. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each received a full day's wage. And there was something else of other people who has ministered in this country, who is born the heat of the day and have been in this country many years. I just really sense that God was just saying that His calling for us is the same. It's the same as anyone else who's gone to this country. So, yeah, this was just something God gave me while I was there. So we joined WEC. If you go to the next slide, please. And this saying, I've heard this so many times for years, especially from Mark Walsh. He said it so many times. And I didn't know that this was from who to be the founder of WEC. You know, only one life will soon be passed. You know, only what's done, you know, for Christ will last. I took a soldering iron. This was actually from a piece of nice wood, this thick, and I cut it in half. It was a real mission. And then I sanded it, and you know, I took a soldering iron and wrote that on it. It was just something I did, just being with my dad. But, you know, we've got one life, and it's just so cool that after hearing that and having that saying making an impact on us, after finding out this is really from the founder of what, you know, what became known as WEC. This is so cool. Our God just sort of connected us and just drew the dots together. So stoked, you know, I'm really so thankful. If you go to the final slide, this is another saying of CT Stud. This is a photo I took at the WEC office the other day. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. And isn't that so true? Jesus Christ is God, and Jesus Christ did die for me, and He died for us. So this is a real privilege, really, for us. You know, there's sacrifice, but it's really a real privilege for us that He, in His grace, He's called us to, you know, to go. And that grace is extended to everyone. It's not that He's given us a special grace. I really believe if people open up their hearts and really obey and listen to what He has for us, He's got so much for each one. So please pray for us as we plan on going to Central Asia in 3 months. We've got still some things to do, but the time is running closer and closer. And we just really hope that, you know, that through us sharing here today, that God has just given maybe you just a bigger glimpse of his heart, you know, for the world. And I'm not saying we all should go, but I'm saying, you know, we all should obey. And He's got something for each one. And that grace is there. We just need to obey and step out and just do what He has for us. Yeah, amen. That's it.